our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
6 days after Peter had acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Take us, Lord, from the busyness and hectic pace of life and grant us this morning to go up on the mountaintop with you. Speak your word. Open our hearts to your grace and to your truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The view was spectacular. It was so peaceful. As I looked from the mountaintop, I could literally see hundreds of miles in several directions, and features that seemed so large when I was near to them earlier that day looked so small. The giant sand dunes on the valley floor looked like tiny wrinkles. The road I had traveled on was barely a thread. The gigantic rock formations and canyons were just pebbles and cracks that blended into this scene of panoramic vista. I had ascended to the top of Augaberry Point in the Panamint Mountains overlooking Death Valley. This was literally a mountaintop experience, but of course we often refer to mountaintop experiences metaphorically, meaning those awesome moments in our lives when it feels like we are nearer to the presence of God and love and joy and peace flood into the soul. That experience that day was both for me. I'd like us to go to the mountaintop this morning. There are two well-known mountaintop experiences in the scripture readings this morning. The first is in the Old Testament reading as Moses ascends to the top of Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. And the second is the account of Jesus taking his three disciples, Peter, James, and John, ascending a mountain and witnessing Jesus transfigured in dazzling glory. You will remember that Moses and the Israelites had gone to Mount Sinai after their miraculous escape from slavery in Egypt when God had parted the waters of the Red Sea. And Moses goes up the mountain and it's enveloped in the glorious presence of God in a cloud, and he receives the Ten Commandments. But what struck me in the reading from Exodus for today that I had not really thought about before was what God said to Moses. Come to me on the mountain and wait. God says, come and wait. And Moses takes Joshua, and they go up the mountain, and just a few sentences later, as they're about to leave, Moses says the same thing to the people. Wait here for us until we come to you again. The mountaintop experience of giving the Ten Commandments is one of the most dramatic moments in the Bible, one of the most significant acts of God in history, and at the heart of it is waiting. Moses goes up the mountain and he waits. Did you catch that in the reading? He's up there 6 days in the cloud. It wasn't until the seventh day that God speaks to him. And Moses waited on that mountain 40 days. The dramatic scene moves very slowly in real time. Have you ever thought about this? Why did Moses have to wait? God doesn't seem to be using time very efficiently here. It seems perhaps that God is wasting Moses' time. Why didn't God just get right to it and give the Ten Commandments? I mean, after all, how long does it take for God to write the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone? It almost seems like things are moving in slow motion. And the people down below grow impatient. They don't seem to be very good at waiting. They think, we've got to do something. How long is this going to take? Let's take some initiative. Let's get something done. Let's take some action. And of course, in their impatient fidgeting, they make the horrific mistake of making an idol, the golden calf, and they bow down and they worship it. In the reading for today from Matthew's gospel, there's waiting as well. We don't know how long it actually was, but Jesus also is covered in a cloud, and Moses and Elijah appear to him, and they have a conversation. In Luke's account of this scene, he tells us that they were speaking about Jesus' coming departure in Jerusalem. It's a discussion about what awaits the Son of God at the cross, the giving of his life out of love for humanity. But Peter grows impatient. He thinks they should do something. This waiting is going on too long, and so he blurts out, hey, I've got an idea. Let's make 3 shrines, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Jesus. He doesn't realize that in doing so, he is belittling the Son of God, lowering him to the same level as the 2 human prophets, as great as they were. And the voice of God comes from the cloud and terrifies Peter, James, and John, and God says, this is my Son. Listen to him. It seems that there's something about waiting that God knows is important for us. Why else would he have us wait? Perhaps it takes time for the goodness, the love, and the joy, and the peace of the presence of God to permeate our souls. Perhaps for us to be truly open and receptive, we have to stop our impatient fidgeting and listen for a while. Even on the mountaintop, we must stop, listen, and wait. Wait for God in his infinite wisdom to move in his perfect timing. I don't know about you, but I've tended to think about mountaintop experiences more like riding a rocket. You blast up into the sky, you experience the wonder of the moment, you take in the view, and then you descend back down to earth. Have the experience and then move on with your life. But it seems that the mountaintop experiences in the Bible, at least these 2 very important ones, involve a much slower process of climbing up the mountain on foot and then arriving at the mountaintop and stopping and waiting. For Moses, this waiting for something to happen, for God to speak, takes many days. It was, of course, worth the wait. The Ten Commandments are the landmark ethical statement of history, and the disciples get to see Jesus transfigured. Note that it's not that Jesus was changed into something different. Rather, their perception of him changed in that moment of waiting on the mountaintop. Peter, James, and John got to see Jesus for who he truly is. For a moment, the veil is pulled back, and Jesus is revealed in his glory. Jesus was always that way, always the eternal Son of God, upon whom the Spirit of God rests, who has a profound connection with his heavenly Father. It's the same Jesus who performed miracles, raised the dead, healed the sick, and taught with authority. The same Jesus in glorious majesty. It's just that they couldn't see him as he truly was, not until that day when they went up on the mountaintop and waited in the presence of the God. Then they truly saw him, as if for the first time. Perhaps this is the point. We have to wait patiently to really see God, to see him as he truly is. If we boil it down, what's really going on both of these stories are three things. There's an invitation from God to come to the mountaintop. There is a command to wait, and then there is a command to listen. Come, wait, listen. Does that speak to your life the way it speaks to mine? We live in such a fast-paced world. There's so much going on, and technology, as helpful as it is, just leads us to try to do more. We're trying to process huge amounts of information in less and less time. We're making more decisions faster, and we live our lives filling them to the brim with activity. Do you not recognize in yourself, as I do within me, the urge to fidget, to do, to act, rather than to come, wait, and listen? Who can't identify with Peter and want to at least do something? Worse, all too often in our impatience on waiting for God, we make tragic mistakes. We fall into sin and end up turning away from God, like the Israelites making the golden calf. We go through life trying to avoid waiting. We see that as wasted time. We race down the highways. We seek to be as efficient as possible, to check things off our lists so that we can put more things on our lists. We add activities. We do so much. We cram it in, and we do it for our children as well. We cram their lives so full. And what if that's really not what's best for us or for our children? Do we even take time to ponder if having more activities really leads to a fuller life or just a more anxious life? What if what would really bring peace into our souls is to embrace waiting? What if in our hurry to avoid the wait, we fail to allow for the time, we fail to make the time, we fail to take the time to hear the invitation coming down from heaven above to come up the mountain and wait and listen? God commanded Moses to wait. How might God be commanding you to wait in your life right now? What are the implications for us? I have three. First, seek the mountaintop experiences. Second, wait on the mountain. And third, stay connected to the mountaintop, even in the valley. First, seek the mountaintop experiences. Do you? Do you seek them? These are those moments, such as on retreat or extended time away, or doing special spiritual practices in the season, such as Lent, even just making extra time for extended prayer, reflection, and scripture reading. There are a variety of ways and places to seek to get away from the normal, hectic pace of life and to climb up the mountain and draw closer to God. We need such times with God because they are transformative for us. Dallas Willard used to say that it's like taking a shower. You're not going to get clean if you're only doing it a drop at a time. You need the full immersion of the water to pour over your body to get you clean. Likewise, we need more than just a little drop, drop, drop of spiritual experience in our lives. We need extended time seeking the presence of the Lord, immersed in his Spirit, in his Word. Where, when, how will you seek the transformative mountaintop experiences in your life? It is a privilege that God gives to us. If we don't take advantage of it, we risk missing so much. Seek the mountaintop. Second, wait. Don't rush it. Don't force it. Sometimes, in fact, quite often, you do make the time. You have those extra moments, and you sit there, and things don't go as expected. You get distracted. Something goes wrong. Things take an unexpected turn, and we get restless. We think, it must be me. I must be doing something wrong. I need to take action. I need to do something. I need to build three booths or make a golden calf. The central lesson this morning is that we must learn to slow down and wait. Savor the moment. Seek the Lord in quietness and be patient. Wait on Him. Don't be too quick to act in our own wisdom and strength. We cannot afford to trust in our own abilities, to put our trust in ourselves and not in the Lord. God commanded Moses to wait. At times, God commands us to be still and wait. Seek the mountaintop, wait, and finally, stay connected. Maybe part of the reason God wants us to wait on the mountaintop is so that we learn to slow down and move more intentionally, listening for His voice at all times in our lives, even in the valleys. Learning to wait on God in the extended times on the mountaintops gives us a perspective like I had in Death Valley that can sustain us through those valleys of life. Jesus was always glorious. He was always with them. But it wasn't until that day on the mountain that Peter, James, and John were able to appreciate who was truly with them. Not just a teacher from Nazareth, but the very Son of God, with whom all things are possible. God has been impressing these truths on me that we're considering this morning. He's been putting them on my heart. I've been living them, actually. I do seek mountaintop experiences, extended times to pull away from the pace of all the demands of a very active church and 640 men, women, and children, place on ministry. I seek the Lord by disengaging and going to places that nourish my soul, such as a doctor of ministry class or the Alpha Conference. Such experiences are crucial for re-energizing. They are life-giving, renewing times for me. It was at the Alpha Conference almost a month ago that God showed me something about my own impatience and the need to stay connected to Him. I went to the Alpha Conference with such high expectations because of how great it was last year, how spirit-filled and powerful. And at the conference, as it was going on, I was getting a series of text messages. And I was trying to listen to the speakers, and I was trying to enter into the worship, and I was having trouble because I was being really distracted. And I prayed something like, "Lord, I'm here to connect with You. But I keep getting these texts and I'm getting distracted." And immediately God spoke to me. I know it sounds crazy to say that, right? All I could tell you is it was crystal clear. It was a sentence in my head, but it seemed to come from outside of me. But it was in me. And I can't tell you how, but I knew it was the voice of the Lord. And He said to me, "This is your life." And I took that to mean, as I reflected on that, that there are many things that require my attention from family, friends, and people of the community. And I was sensing what God was saying is, what you experience at this conference with the power of the Holy Spirit, that's always there in your life. Your challenge is to connect that to those busy moments, to those text messages, to those interactions with people, to recognize that the Spirit of God is with me all the time, not just on mountaintop experiences like at the Alpha Conference. God was reminding me to stay connected to Him, even during busy times. Through all times, even when I get frustrated, the Lord is there. And so what began as a frustrating experience became a crucial moment when the Lord spoke to me, and I needed to not fidget in frustration, but wait on the Lord on that mountaintop. And the rest of the conference was truly a mountaintop experience for me. It is so important that we listen for God's word to us. What is he saying to you this morning? Do you hear the invitation to come and seek the Lord on the mountaintop? Do you hear his command to wait? And will you listen for what he wants to say to you? Come, wait, listen. Come away to the mountaintop and see the Lord for who he truly is, glorious in majesty. With him all things are possible. And as you come down from the mountaintop, realize that that same Lord is always there with you in the busyness of life and in the valleys as well. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.